I was asking the Lord, what should we title this message today? Because I always go before the Lord, and I have to be honest with you. We got home late last night, and I said, Lord, I'm tired, but I'll get up tomorrow morning early. And I did get up, and he reminded me I got up. And so I wanted to give you a really nice, nice message today. It's just going to bless you and make you feel real good, even though you're going to feel lousy tomorrow morning. But I just, you know, the Lord said, son, would you just tell the truth? Because the truth sets people free. So this is the title of the message. It really comes from a scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. You don't have to put it up. But it's this that Paul said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I think about all of the chaos that's going on in the world today. It's like it's gone mad. It's like, you know, it's like a guy's driving a car and he's being really nice, you know, and you're driving next to him and all of a sudden he's a maniac and he's driving crazy and it's like he's out of his mind. And you look into his eyes and all of a sudden he like changed. Like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And that seems like it's what's happened in the United States of America. It's like, what is going on? This is getting insane. That's why Jesus said, tell them, everyone who calls out on my name will be saved. If there was ever a time where we needed God back in American society, it was today. And rather than get into the whole idea of how we threw him out, you know, in 1963... And in the early 70s, we just eradicated from all the public square and the public schools and the government all mention of God and everything else, except for Congress, still starts with prayer. I don't understand the same thing with the Supreme Court. But they don't allow anybody else to do it in any of the school systems. And we wonder why we have such chaos and such hatred among not only the races, but among people, young and old. And it's just, you know, rich and poor. It's just like chaos is happening in America today. Rather than get into that and explain all of that, which would take a real long time, I'll give you what Jesus told me. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 7 to 10. Not a lot of preachers want to preach this stuff, but you know, I'm a servant of God. And I'm glad that most of you really want to know the truth. Why? Because truth sets you free. Lies keep you in bondage. They keep you in bondage. And sometimes you say, well, you know, I'd rather not know I have cancer. I'd rather just kind of like die one day. Okay, suppose it's a slow cancer and it might last 15 years and you could cure it. Wouldn't you want to know? Okay, suppose you had a disease that could be cured and you just say, well, I don't even want to think about it. No, I would want to know. I would definitely want to know. If something was killing me and everyone was trying to keep it a secret from me, I'd be pretty angry at those individuals when I finally saw them up in heaven, especially if they were Christians. Why didn't you tell me? Well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Hurt my feelings? You allowed me to die. I mean, you talk about hurt feelings. I was hurting. Okay, I could have been cured. Well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings at the time. See, we like to avoid confrontation. And we have a lot of non-confrontational preaching in the pulpits in America today. They just don't want to really tell you the truth. They want to tell you just about good things. They don't want to tell you the truth of what is really going on. But remember, Jesus said this. In the end time, he said, they'll be saying peace and safety, and sudden destruction would come upon them. But we're even beyond that point because most people today are going, what in the world? How did this happen? Well, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. Tell us a little bit about where our lives are at. And it says this, do not be deceived. What is deception? To believe something is the truth when in reality it is a lie. The devil is a master at it. Really. It's like, you know, your kid comes up and you caught him. He's a seven-year-old and you notice that three-quarters of the cookies are missing from the jar and there's nobody else in the house but you and him. Okay? And you say to him, Johnny, did you take these things? No. I really didn't. I don't know where they went. But you know he's lying. He's doing it with a real straight face. You see? And you might even catch him with his hand in the cookie jar. Okay? And you go, Johnny, you got your hand in the cookie jar. And he goes, no, I don't. What's that in your hand? Nothing. I see a cookie in there. No, there's none in there. You know, you're laughing about that, but you people see this stuff on TV all the time and you buy it. You really do. In my day, well, watching TV, man, they said, Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. If you're old enough, you remember that commercial. And what you do, you smack down your hair. That's when we used to wear, you know, the hair really smacked back with grease and stuff like that. A little dab will do you. They don't use that commercial anymore now because it's sexist, but they used to say toothpaste gave you sex appeal. How the heck toothpaste give you sex appeal? I mean, it's your teeth, for crying out loud. They're just getting white, that's all. But we buy that kind of stuff. And ladies, you're really laughing about it. This morning, I have to tell the truth. I was taking my shower. Okay, I've got three girls in the house, all right? And we have two showers, but it's just amazing. I go in there. I couldn't even find a place to put my soap. I use Safeguard soap. I had one bar of soap. It's like 15 bottles on every single cavity, every shelf. It was really funny. I said to the Lord, "Lord, this is getting ridiculous. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get my own shelf and put my name on it and say, this is reserved for Safeguard." The point is, all ladies believe that every product that you buy is really doing a great job. And I imagine that many of them are. But many of them, if you read the labels, they're not doing what the label says. Okay? And I didn't bring a bottle in, but if I did, all of us would be laughing at it, because you know that half the things that they say on these labels are not really true. They're just a mixture of a bunch of chemicals, but they really, it's like seduction. It's deception. But it makes us feel good to know that we paid a lot of money for a product that really isn't worth that much. You see? I didn't get a lot of laughs on that one. I've just lost all the women here. I got to get to the men here. And I am in the men right now. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap what? Destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Most of us here, when we were young, realized that we knew somebody that was probably destroying their life with drugs, but they could not believe that they would be destroying their life with drugs. I was destroying myself, and I could care less. But a lot of people just didn't think that they were destroying myself. I honestly did not care whether I lived or died. I figured, you know, life is over. The problem with a lot of things when you're 24 years old, that you've done everything that anyone wanted to do, and you do it 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 times, and you don't even get any more pleasure out of it, there's nothing left to do. So you accumulate more and more things, but what happens is you get bored with them faster and faster and faster. It's the same thing with drugs. Everyone builds a tolerance up with certain drugs that you take, and you got to take more and more and more. Did you ever think of why that happens? Well, it has to do with the pleasure center and dopamine. And the way God created us is the more things that you take to try to get pleasure in this human body, you're going to get tired of these things eventually, or your body's going to build up a chemical tolerance to it, and you got to take more and more and more. That's why if you're addicted to painkillers, they got to switch them every 6 months, because you build up such a tolerance that if they continue to allow you to take as much as you need to get rid of the pain, you're going to destroy your liver. So they switch it over to another painkiller. And those who are doing the illegal drugs like heroin or cocaine, you know what happens after a while. I don't know how many drug addicts I've helped, heroin addicts, who have told me they don't even get high anymore. They just don't want to withdraw. So when they cop and they take a hit, it's just so that they don't withdraw. What kind of a life is that? I call that deception. I call that bondage. And the Bible says, whatever a man soweth, that will he reap. It's not only with drugs, it's with anything that we take into our heart and our mind that God says is not good for us. The question is, why do we want to do these things that are so contrary to God's nature? It's because we have what's called a sinful nature. I'd like to just get down to the basics of it. It's a human body, and the body of a human is a natural body. It's an animal body. We don't like that, but we do have an animal body. It means that you got life in you. And we happen to be Homo sapiens, not homosexuals, but Homo sapiens, and we are actually mammals. Don't you call me a mammal. You are a mammal. My mother might be a mammal, but I'm not a mammal. I'm a man. No, mammal, it's a classification. And there are a lot of different mammals. It doesn't mean we're all evolved into mammals and we all come from the same species of mammals. No, God created us with this kind of a body and it has desires. And I remember when I read about Cain, and he killed his brother. God said to him, listen, Cain, sin has its desire for you. It wants to control you. But you must master it, or it will master you. You cannot live by your desires. You say, well, oh man, you're just blowing the American way here. You can't live by just doing whatever you want to do. You're going to hurt somebody or hurt yourself in the process. Now, I know the philosophy in America, well, if it ain't hurting anybody else, then why should it, you know, why should anybody care? Well, you can do whatever you want to do, but don't expect me to pay for it when you ruin yourself and you have no money to pay for your medical bills. I got enough trouble with my own medical bills. So therefore, it is society's issue. If you're rich enough and want to destroy your life, that's one thing. But that's not what I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ can set you free. That Jesus Christ purchased for you on Calvary a heavenly existence. A life where you can be freed from these impulses. Free from making all these dumb mistakes that we made when we were young. And stop making them all over again. Because everyone who calls out on the name of the Lord will be saved. I met a drug addict one time. He goes, I don't need to be saved. I said, you got to be kidding me. You just told me that you can't stop doing stuff. You're in bondage. He didn't mind when I told him into bondage. He laughed. But when I said, Satan's got you, he said, oh, man, nobody got me. I said, you got a needle in your arm. You got to be kidding me. And you're telling me you don't want to do it. I didn't put the needle in your arm. I didn't do that. You're blinded by the devil. Satan blinds the minds of the unbelieving. How many people would admit here? You're saved now, but you were blinded. Yeah. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. That's the whole thing about light. When Deborah was talking about Hanukkah, and we're talking about during the Festival of Lights, Jesus, I am the light of the world. And then he heals a blind man's eyes. Opens the eyes. So why? The blind man could see the light of the world. You can't see the kingdom. You can't understand the things of God. You'll be an atheist. You'll be just someone going to live your life and die one day with no explanation of why you were born or why you die. Except I'm going to go back to the dust. That was your whole existence? No wonder you don't care about your life or anybody else's life. Because you don't have any accountability. You'll just think, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But the Bible says then comes judgment. And this is what the devil tries to do. He tries to get us so preoccupied with our existence of pleasure in America and just spending our time saying someone else will do it, someone else will do it. And then we watch our friends and our family get so trapped into drugs and so trapped into bad marriages and so trapped. And we watch our kids being destroyed every day. And then what we try to do is around the holidays, we try to paint the picture that, you know what? There's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it. But I'll tell you right now, there's not a mother here that if you could stop your kid from being run over by a car, you wouldn't change the position with your child. Because that's an instantaneous thing. But why when we see our kids being destroyed by bad choices or bad teaching, why do we just go ahead and just say, I don't know? Because we give up. I'm a parent. I know what it's like. You just get tired of trying to correct all the time. And then when you see them get trapped. And why do our kids get trapped? They don't get trapped because they come to church. They don't get trapped because they're in a synagogue somewhere. They get trapped because they're in a public school system that doesn't care about anything about the spiritual life at all. It's just trying to cope and get through life. And if that hurts you, good, because it's the truth. And Jesus said you know the truth and it would set you free. The guardians of knowledge in the United States of America are the American public education system. And I think they're doing a pretty doggone bad job at being able to make good citizens today. And why? It's because they've left out an ingredient that is extremely important that the devil knew all about it. They severed out the whole idea that man is a spirit, a soul, and a body. In the public education system, you can look at any health textbook you want to. And you're going to see that, by the way, in every textbook, in the beginning of the preface of the book, it tells you the whole construct of the book and how the book is put together and what the goals and what they're trying to achieve. Look into the health textbooks that you're going to see. And this is what you're usually going to find in paraphrasing. But basically, good health means that you are accepting and making good choices for your mind and your body. If you make good choices for your mind and your body, the question is, what is good? So they threw out the morality of the Bible. They take the Ten Commandments off the wall. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. Thou shalt not kill. Honor thy father and thy mother. And they think they're going to replace it with better values. Because the basis of ungodly education is humanism, which means that man is basically good. Left alone, he will make good choices for himself and for society. And I'm telling you, that philosophy that's been inculcated in the American institutions of learning from kindergarten all the way through college has been weighed in the balances of time and experience and in the universe and found wanting. And that means that they have failed to produce what they said they were going to do. If they were a private enterprise right now, they would have went bankrupt because they would have actually been fraudulent because they did not produce what they did. And society would not buy the product anymore. But because it's forced on us, we have to do these things. I wish I didn't have to speak these things, say these things. But I'm a child of God and I'm a man of God and God set me free. And I can't help to see the truth. And I want the truth. Why? Because I want to see you succeed in life. Some of you young men out here, you don't even think about where you're going to be 5 or 10 years. But I can guarantee you, where you'll be 5 or 10 years now is where you make a decision about God in your life. And the only one who can set you free from bad choices and from drug addictions and these things that hold us back. And from any kind of a sin that grabs a hold of us, whether it is bondage to pornography, bondage to hatred, bondage to lust, and all of these things. There's only one who can do that, and that's Jesus Christ. Because whatever a man soweth, that's what he also reaps. It doesn't go away, drug addiction and alcohol addiction, by itself. It doesn't. You can't just put your hand in front of your face and say, make it go away. Or it doesn't exist. It's there. And it's a sin as bad as a cancer. Some of the drugs are really like a slow cancer. They'll take your life one day. Oh, I don't care. I've got plenty of years left. I don't care if I die at 50. When you hit 49 years old, you're going to say, I don't care if I die at 60. When you hit 60, you're saying, I don't care if I die at 70. When you hit 70, you're saying, you know, I don't even know if I want to live anymore. My body's so bad. But when you're young, you don't even think about those things. You don't even think about it. That's why we do the stupid things that we've done when we were kids. And why do I know about this? Because I did a lot of dumb things. And if you're here long enough, you'll probably hear a lot of things that I did. But I exist and live today for one reason. It's try to warn individuals that there is a day of judgment coming, but God doesn't want you to be at that judgment day and being thrown into hell. But he wants you set free because God doesn't want to send anybody to that place where the devil is going. But if you serve the devil, where do you think you're going to go? If you serve Jesus Christ, where do you think you're going to go? You'll be with him forever. And that's where God wants us to go. He didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. But through Jesus, the whole world could be saved if they believe. Because everyone who calls out on his name will be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. A couple of more scriptures and we're going to close in a prayer. But this is what Paul told the Corinthian church. The God of this age, meaning the devil, small g, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Blinded. Man, the first person who witnessed to me almost punched his lights out in anger. But I didn't, because I didn't want to get arrested. I had enough problems. But as I drove away, I remember, I said, why am I so angry? The guy was just trying to tell me that Jesus loved me. Now I understood. My heart was so filled with hatred that I could not believe that God even cared about anything. Did I believe he existed? Yeah. Why? Because I was possessed by the devil. And I knew that the devil didn't like Jesus Christ. But I was bound by the devil. But I thought about that. And 1 year later, I was saved. Why? Because God had mercy on my soul. But don't be like me to the place when you're on your deathbed. And I don't mean deathbed in the sense I was laying in a hospital. But I was the enigma to so many people around because I had so much going for me, and yet I'm a total failure at life. I was just making bad choices because I was a pure hedonist. I loved drugs. I loved getting high. I loved partying all the time. I was a musician, and we do it 7 days a week. You wannabes do it only Friday, Saturday night. Then you got to sober up because you got to go to work Monday. There is no sobering up for musicians and rich people and people who don't have to do these things because they have so much. And we look at a Justin Bieber and we look at a Miley Cyrus and we look at Beyonce and all these other individuals, and we Christians put them down and just keep putting them down. But you've never even been in that position to have that kind of worship towards you and that kind of money buying power to do anything you want in life. And if you were in that same position, except for the grace of God, there go you, I can guarantee you. And they will get to the place where in God's mercy and our prayers, I'm praying for Justin Bieber and Beyonce and Miley Cyrus. I mean, I'm just like you. When I saw Miley Cyrus, I said, "This, I'm sick with this girl. This is the most disgusting portrayal I've ever seen. How could she do this and just humiliate herself? Well, for money. Guess why? Because that's what the world wants. She sells so many records overseas, it's absolutely incredible. She keeps going the way she is, she'll be the most absolutely hideous multi-billionaire that we have ever seen. She wouldn't have any of that if there wasn't a hunger and a thirst in the heart of Americans for that kind of stuff. So at her destruction, we buy the records and we see these concerts. And then at the same time, God says, you're hypocrites because you don't even pray for her soul. You don't even care for her soul where she goes. You don't care for Beyonce, even if she was possessed by the devil. You don't even care for her. Why don't you pray for her that she would get saved and that she become like an Apostle Paul? Because don't forget, the Apostle Paul was a murderer. He killed Christians. He was going to have them arrested so that they could be killed and tortured because he thought he was doing God a service. And God got a hold of his heart. Why can't he get a hold of some of these rock stars and some of these individuals that are so filthy in the world? And all of a sudden, they will be standing up singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, and blow the minds of every single person in their industry. I'm believing for those kinds of things because I believe when God touches your heart, he makes you a minister of a flame of fire. When he opens your eyes to the kingdom of God, you see the way God sees. And God doesn't want anybody to perish, but all come to everlasting life. And that's what Jesus did. And what got me about Jesus, when I was really, really on my last. Oh, by the way, I didn't have to die. I was just drinking myself and drugging myself to death and smoking myself to death. I didn't have to. Doctor said you can stop anytime you want. Why are you doing this? I said, life has no meaning. It really doesn't. The good die young. What does it pay to be a good person in the filthy, stinking world that we live in? And the doctor says, you have a bad attitude. And I say to the doctor, listen, don't go ahead and preach to me. Just give me the pills. Here's your money. He said, what kind of doctor was that? The kind of doctors that give these pills to entertainers. It's a business. And they just wipe their hands as if they're not doing anything. Like they did to Elvis Presley, and they did to Michael Jackson. I'm just giving them what they want, and they were being paid for it, and I was trying to alleviate suffering. Yeah, you really alleviated the suffering of these people. They're dead. Shortened lives. Nobody could tell me that Michael Jackson wasn't trying to be able to find his way through this maze of religious nonsense in the world, to try to find his way to God. You can't tell me that. Too many statements from him about God. Too many statements that he wanted to be free. And he had sin like everybody else. But because these stars are just put up there to the place where society don't care about what you do in private, but they're going to care about them because it sells newspapers and journals and magazines. Hypocrites, that's what God says about all of this stuff. But when your eyes are open to really see the truth, you say, you know what? Stop the world. Stop the curse. I don't want this curse on my life no more, you can say if you're addicted to drugs or pornography or hatred or lust or depression or fear. All these things that drive man to the place where he don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. I know because I was there. I drowned it away by immediately drinking a whole glass of whiskey before I even ate breakfast. And believe me, on an empty stomach, that stuff shoots through your system like any kind of a drug. And that's the way my day was. And nobody corrected me because everybody else around me was doing the same thing. But God had a plan for my life. And that's my point before I close. He's got a plan for every one of your lives. 2 Timothy 2:22. What advice? Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call out on the Lord with a pure heart. Flee these youthful desires. They're insane when we're young. I mean, come on. We know what that's about. Well, not all of you. Some of you are goody two-shoes. Okay, well, as soon as I got a car, man, I wanted to see how fast that doggone thing would go. And it was old jalopy, but man, I tell you, I got it up to 110. It was a 3-speed 49 Chevy. But man, I'm telling you, I made that thing go so fast, I thought the whole thing was going to start to fly after a while. I wanted to see what it was going to do. Not thinking about it, I could have got killed. And it was a 3-speed stick on the column. You don't even know what that is if you're over 50. Maybe you don't. But all I know is I got that thing going. I just put the pedal to the metal. And then when I was older, I got what I wanted. A 68 Chevelle 396. And I used to drive back and forth when I was in the Army. From Louisville, Kentucky to New York. And boy, I made it quick. I probably could beat out, man, a 747. I wasn't a Christian, but I was praying, Lord, I hope I don't get stopped. I think, man, I was going so fast he couldn't see me. He's probably reading his newspaper. I went right past. I put that pedal to the metal, and that speedometer said 140. I could get to 110 in third gear. So I don't even know where it went afterwards. Until the front end was shaking so bad that I had to slow down. But I'm alive. You say, wow, God kept you alive. But I did have two accidents I was in. Head-on collisions, not me driving. And I should have been dead. And I was alive. So I did a lot of stupid stuff. Youthful lusts and desires. Flee these evil desires of youth. We call them stupid, but the Bible says they're evil. The devil's trying to kill you. Trying to tell an atheist that the devil's trying to kill you, they laugh in your face. I say, you don't even see that he's got you blinded already. You're going to die one day and face God. And you're laughing at me when I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, I've been there. And you're not there yet, but you will be if you continue this kind of a lifestyle. I had one person say to me, what's the difference? Nobody cares about me anyhow. And that's why some people just destroy their lives and give up. You feel like a failure. And I'm speaking to people listening to this message. Some of you feel like you failed. Some of you young ladies out here, you got married to the one that you love so much and you thought you were just going to have the nice house with the white picket fence. And all of a sudden, 10 years later, your husband doesn't want anything to do with you anymore. You're nothing like a discarded rug that he walks on every single day with his words. Your heart doesn't even get hurt anymore. Why? He killed it. And you're basically living with a total stranger. And if I'm telling you the truth right now, I'm telling you there's life after the divorce. There's life after this kind of thing. Because God is your Father in heaven, and he doesn't want to see you watch and get destroyed any longer. Get up. Shut the door. Move on with your life and let God bless you. But be careful about who you take into your life and into your heart. We're all dumb and stupid when we're young teenagers. And if I'm making you feel bad that you're a teenager, I was one once. And I'm much more stupid than any teenager that was in this place right now. Really, really, really bad stuff. But God had his hand on me for a reason, so that I could tell the truth. Not become a fancy preacher, an eloquent preacher. That I could just mesmerize you with all the knowledge that I've learned over these 42 years of reading books. So that you could go home and say, wow, he knows a lot. What I know a lot about is the fact that the devil is real and he wants to kill you and your children. And I also know that Jesus Christ is real and he wants to set you free. And he will do it if you call out on his name, because there's no devil in hell. There's Satan himself cannot stop you from using your will if you want to be set free. Because if you call out on the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says you will be saved. Not you can be, but you will be. And it starts that. It's not a can and a hope or a what, a maybe. No, it's a will. And that word is absolutely connected with your will. You will be saved. It's a process that takes place. And he picks you up from where you're at. And he teaches you about his love. And you might say, I have such a broken heart. I don't even know what love is. He'll teach you. And I'm one that stands before you right now telling you the truth. I didn't even know what love was. You could die in front of me. I'd walk over your body and say, you probably deserved it. That's how bitter I was. I didn't fear death at all. Still don't fear death. But I never feared anything because it just didn't seem like life made any kind of sense. Because when I was a young boy, I used to pray, God, I want to be a good person. And then all I ever saw was evil in the world, hypocrisy, lying, cheating, stealing. And I said, what's it matter how you live? It doesn't seem. The good die young. Bad people get rich. Poor people suffer. And we all seem to go to the same place anyhow. What does it matter? Until God said, son, you're not leaving this world until I break into your life. You see, God has a divine plan for your life. You wouldn't even be sitting here right now. That's how much I believe in divine providence. Divine providence stopped Josh from being killed yesterday. He should have been dead. I mean, you lose your front axle and it snaps and you have no control over your steering wheel doing 65, 70 miles an hour. Whoops, you'll have to edit that. He told me how fast he was going. I'm even slower than he said. But you do that, there's a good chance you're going to be killed. But it didn't happen until he got off after driving for 20 minutes and was only going 2-3 miles an hour around a curve. It just so happened when it snapped, he just pulled over to the side of the road. You'd never even know. Except if you looked at the wheel, you'd see it was totally turned in. That's divine providence. And every one of you has an appointment with God, and I hope it's now. How do I start? If you're asking that question, it's very simple. Listen to the words of Jesus. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, and this is the principle that works. It's supernatural. It's powerful. It's the word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll cut and divide soul and spirit. It will cause the grace of God to come in your life if you allow this process to happen. And it'll change your life. It'll take some time. But it'll change your life if you say, Jesus, open my eyes to it. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. That's what a disciple is all about. It's not somebody who could just wave and sing nice songs and things like that, and, you know, and get up there and impress everybody with how much you know. No, it's somebody who holds to the teachings of Jesus. In other words, you grasp on to the two great commandments, which all of the 613 laws, Jewish laws, hang on to, which is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength. Believe me, to do that is a lifelong project. But then to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, on these hang the law and the prophets. Okay, all of it hangs on those two. You might say that they're the foundation. If you get those two going, your life will be totally changed. And you'll be living right. But he said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It'll set you free. And that word set is a verb. It's an action verb. Set. It's only three letters, but it's really powerful. Because if you know this truth, you say, Lord, I want to know the truth. And Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Then Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and it'll set you free. It'll make you free. I close with this idea that it's that simple. I heard a preacher preach this in a church. And God was breaking into my life. It took about a year and a half. Like I said, the first person who witnessed to me almost punched his lights out. But God was working. He was calling me, just like he's calling you. And we don't all just come right away. Because God had his hand on us before the foundations of the world. I truly believe in that. I believe that you were called by God before you were born, in your mother's womb, the Bible says he knows you. Psalm 139. He knows you. He framed your parts. And at the appointed time, he breaks into our lives. And he starts calling us. And just like our kids, we're rebellious at times. We don't listen. It's like, Johnny, don't throw your cereal at your sister. Johnny, don't throw your cereal at your sister. And you say it 500 times to the place where you say, I think my kid's got some kind of a mental problem. Okay? But he's only 4 years old. All of a sudden, Johnny and Mary, they're 15 and 16, they're best friends. They're not throwing cereal at each other anymore. Okay. Now, if they're still throwing it, then maybe they really got something wrong with them, okay? But usually they don't do that. But God understands you too. And some of you trip and stumble and fall into the grace of God, and that's okay. At least you get finally into it and you answer the call of God. And he gives you those opportunities. And that's why I speak from my heart. And there's only the most important thing to an evangelist is this, that you receive eternal life. Everything else is fluff. You want to know everything about the book of Revelation? You want to know all the deep secrets of God? That ain't going to save you. The one thing that saves you is the fact that you must be born again or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that is why Billy Graham just stayed on that whole thing. He just stayed on the principle. You must be born again. You can't enter the kingdom of God when you die. And I want to give you that chance. If you're listening to this message and if you've never really received Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you realize, you know what, I really haven't made a dedication. Now, I don't expect you to become a fanatical with me, but I wish you would. I'm getting a little older now. My wife wants me to stay really young. I'm getting a little older, but I'll tell you one thing. With the years that I have left in my life, I understand something. That when I look out at you people, and I love the fact that our congregation is small, so I can look at every one of your faces. I did the bid meetings. I was an evangelist, and I traveled. I traveled to Brazil. I traveled to Colombia. I saw meetings with thousands and tens of thousands of people. It's just not my cup of tea. I had a lot of good results there. But when I come back to New York and I see the size of the churches, I say, Lord, they don't need me down there. They got revival like crazy. They're wonderful people in Brazil and Colombia. And I went there many years, but I'm done. I'm done. I want to center what Jesus centers. And he said this, that the good shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes after the one that's lost. He's a lot better than I am because I'm human. Sometimes I'm human like everybody else. I need my time. I need my space or whatever like that. But I'll tell you, when I look at you here, sometimes, just with a glance, God sometimes opens up a part of your heart to me. And I can see, it might be your son, it might be a daughter, it might be a mate, it might be a loved one who's not here. You're saying, oh, if he could only hear this message, they could only hear, if my son or my daughter could only hear this message, why don't you be the message? Well, how can I do that? You pray for them. You can't talk to your kids sometimes. They want to hear. You've already heard everything from you. But you can pray, and prayer is powerful. The Bible says the effectual prayer of a righteous person avails much in the sight of God. You say, well, that leaves me out, man. I'm a loser. No, the effectual prayer of a righteous person. None of us are righteous. Where righteousness comes by faith in Jesus. So put on the robe of righteousness and say, Jesus, you know my life, but I do love you, and I'm praying for my son or my daughter. Be like Hannah and just keep wailing until you give birth to seeing your son or your daughter or your mate turn around. I believe in the power of prayer. It's absolutely incredible. We have prayer, by the way, as an advertisement. Friday nights, we have a Bible study and a combination Bible study and prayer, 7:30. We're out of here by about 10 to 9. We have a Bible study for a half hour to 40 minutes, and then we pray. And we've been seeing God do miracles. And God does big miracles. He does little miracles. Praise God. Roseanne's dog had some kind of an eye infection, a red eye. And she says, I know this is a frivolous prayer and we're praying for the savior of the world, but my dog is sick, you know. I said, we'll pray for that. And what happened the next day? Fine was pine in the morning. You say, God cares about that? That's right. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. We're closing a prayer. We're going to have some bagels and refreshments. It's birthday Sunday. But would you consider where you're at in your relationship with Jesus Christ right now? Think of yourself as like a potted plant, flourishing with flowers, or hasn't been watered in a long time and it needs some water. or it hasn't even flowered yet, and you know, you're just having problems getting some food, spiritual food. No matter what your conditions, Jesus is here. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, I know he's in the midst. And I know that God wants to set you free if you're bound by drugs or alcohol. You still have a problem, you're nipping at the bottle, or you're fooling around with the drugs, or you got these thoughts that torment your brain. That's the devil trying to pull you back in. He's trying to set a snare for your feet. Or if you're having problems with pornography, and pornography is going to ruin your ability to have a relationship with one woman. Because like having a harem, and you could just change the bodies every other night. And why I'm talking the truth here is because you young people got to get a hold of this, or it's going to ruin your marriage 5 or 10 years later on, because you're not going to want your wife's body anymore. And the devil succeeds in getting you so double-minded that your wife is not going to flourish the way she could flourish if you could make her just the object of affection. You're not going to hear this spoken in a lot of places, but I'm just speaking as Jesus tells me the truth to say here. Get free of this garbage. Turn it off. If you have to, if you're so addicted to it, do what you do if you're addicted to pills. Don't even have them in the house. Don't get rid of the internet for a while. Get rid of it. Oh, what am I going to do? You're going to live. That's what you're going to do. You'll find other things that take up your mind. Do things with your spouse more. You say, well, I don't love her no more. Well, you know, what is love? If it's just a feeling to you, feelings come and feelings go. Well, one day, for some reason, you married your wife, and if it wasn't just for money, it must have been you had a feeling there. And that's what God's telling some of you out here. Get it back again. Why? Spend time together. Deal with it. Talk to her. And have just a roll-up-the-sleeve, real talk about what your needs are, what you want, what you don't like. And the idea is that the rule is nobody can leave the ring. In other words, it's a battle sometimes. You can't leave the ring until you settle it. And if it don't work and you can't get it going after a year, move on with your life. But if you don't give it a good God try, you're only fooling yourself. You're not fooling anybody else. You just didn't want her anymore anyhow, or you didn't want him anymore. But God wants us to get real. And if you're real, you'll know him. And to know him is to love him. Amen? Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I heard a lot today. I ask you, Jesus, forgive me for all my sins and set me free. I call out on you today, Jesus. I want you to save me from these things that hold me back from being what you purchased for me on the cross of Calvary. Save my soul and grant me eternal life, O Lord, and fill me with your Holy Spirit and open my eyes. Open my eyes, Jesus, to understand thy scripture. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.